So as always, I don't like to send you home without a message. Got to get more messages in. Messages from God, we've got to get in so we can change the perception. We've got to keep pushing the limits of our understanding. Push the bounds of it, not to some unknown reality, but towards the truth of God. The truth is already there, and we just got to keep pushing beyond what we think we know so that we can receive what God has planned for us, who God has created us to be, what He has already arranged for us. There are riches, there are blessings, there is health laid up for us. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you right now. And what we need to do is get our perception to the point where we can just step right into it. We've already received it because we received Jesus into our heart. We've already received the gift of God. Remember, when Jesus came down to the earth, God poured out from the heavens every single thing that He owned, He gave to us. He gave it all to us. There was nothing more to give. He gave it all. And now, when we receive Jesus, we receive it all. In the Spirit, immediately our spirit is now made new. We have a new spirit. Talked about this last week on video. So you already know that you got a new spirit. And so we now have to get this understanding, our perception, up to the point where now our mind is working in alignment with what our spirit already knows. The spirit already knows. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say, my spirit knows.
My spirit knows.
Your spirit already knows all things. It's already there waiting. But now we got to get our mind up to that point where the perception now can be in alignment with what the Spirit knows, so that we now can go to work with doing the works of the kingdom of God, what God has planned from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world. God planned it for you. Today I want to talk about time. Time. You know, when you're traveling, you become very aware of time. And you need to be aware of time in some respects, because if you're not aware of time, there's flights to catch, there's boats and buses and metros to catch, and if you're not aware of the times of when these things come and go, you may miss them. We found out in Barcelona that the metro stops at 12 midnight. We found that out at 12:05. Wasn't a good thing, because there the gates were locked and we were on the outside and we weren't going home by the metro, even though we were waiting, had tickets. So you need to be aware of time and when things are happening. The good thing was taxis were still running, and so we took the fun way home, the beautiful way, and had a great sights along the way, and so we enjoyed that. But when you're traveling, you really become aware of time, because there's often you got to catch connecting flights. You're aware that if that first flight runs late, then you're going to miss the next flight possibly, or cut it very close to the next one. And I have to say that on our recent vacation, Liza did an amazing job of timing everything out. I mean, really, it was like clockwork. We went from one plane to the next plane. We didn't take any trains. Went from one plane to the next plane, just like clockwork. There was just enough time to get prepared to get on the flight. It was beautiful. We weren't sitting, waiting, spending our vacation in lines or anything like that. Everything was arranged perfectly. And when you can do that, it's really a beautiful vacation. And that's what ours was. And we went from planes to boats to hotels without missing a beat, never having to wait in lines, always just moving forward. And so you've got to be aware of time, though, if you're going to make that happen. And so we got to start thinking about time and the things that we saw. I learned different things about different cultures. Not that I hadn't known them before, but I got to experience them firsthand, which is a little different. Also in Barcelona, the other thing I learned is that they have this siesta time. Siesta time, certain stores end up closing in the middle of the day. It was interesting because this one particular street that was right near our hotel, we had walked down it several times, but the thing was, the street looked completely different from one time of day to the next. So I was always getting confused about, where was that restaurant? There was a restaurant right here. They had pulled down some big shutter thing and it wasn't there anymore. That restaurant was gone. But now there was a restaurant on the other side of the street that the shutter had gone up. You know? So I would get confused about, wait a minute, where are we on this street? And it all was changing based on the time of the day. Some stores didn't open until like 8 o'clock at night. there was somebody setting up and their store was just opening at 8 o'clock. And I was like, this is confusing. I don't get this. So it was quite different than what I was used to. But it was also kind of fun because walking down that street was like a new experience every single time. You know, so we had a good time walking down that street. Every time we went down, they were like, what? This is, where are we? I don't know where we are. And of course, when you're traveling, especially if you're traveling to other continents and stuff, you can get a little confused about what day it is. You know, and your body can get confused about it too. So you're awake in the middle of the night and you're sleepy during the day and you're trying to stay awake during the day when you really want to be going out and doing something, but your body is totally confused. Is it day or is it night? I don't know where I am. And of course, you can lose a day, which we lost a day. And then thankfully, because of God, we found a day. So say amen to that.
Amen.
You know, so things, amazing things can happen while you're traveling. So, you know, one thing else was interesting is, did you know that food can change times? Food can change times. In France, we found out that croissants determined everything. Yeah, no croissants, no breakfast. There is no breakfast anymore. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. They run out of croissants. Breakfast was over. Breakfast time. You have a time for breakfast, right? You're thinking, okay, this is the time we have breakfast. No croissants, no breakfast. I'm like, what? But what do you mean, no breakfast? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's got to be breakfast. No, there's no breakfast. We're out of croissants. So that determined everything there. So it was kind of interesting how even foods could change time in certain places, in certain time zones. You know, so these kind of things we become aware of, not only while we're traveling, a lot of times we're in certain routines in our lives. So we know what time we get up, we know what time we go to bed, we know what time we eat, we know what time we go to work, we know what time we get off, we know what day of the week, which is also a time, you know, that we have off of work so that we can do something leisurely. So we're really aware of these different times and different places. And, you know, it's important that we understand that time is precious also. You know, because as I said, you don't want to lose time. As Liza was talking about earlier, you know, we had spent a lot of our time in Barcelona actually on the beach in the morning. In the morning, afternoonish, you know, sometimes even close to evening, because we were enjoying it. But that, as a result of that, it didn't allow us to see a lot of the city. And so once it got close to our time to leave, we were suddenly feeling like, wow, there's all these things we did not see. But we chose to use our time wisely because for us, it was very important for us to get that relaxation and let our bodies relax too. And then, of course, as we were talking about earlier, God blessed us by giving us an extra day. You know, that day was always there, but our perception said that day was not there. And then God opened our eyes and said, ta-da! And that was really a good day because that day was a little cloudy and cooler than all the rest, and it wasn't really a good beach day, but it turned out to be a great day to go and see the city and see all the things that the night before, when we thought we were going to leave the next day, we were saying, oh man, we kind of missed out on this and missed out on that. Man, well, we're going to have to come again, I said to Liza. We'll just have to come again and do it next time. And it turned out we didn't have to because God told us the next day, you've got another day. And so in that day that was cooler and cloudier, instead of going to the beach, we went and saw a lot of the stuff that we'd talked about needing to come back and see again. And here God had already planned and prepared it for us. And so you really realize how important time is. And there were also incidents where time stopped. Time stood still. You know, there were certain events where you left that natural, the physical, and you entered into the spiritual, where all the time stood still. Like when I was ascending the stairs towards Winged Victory, that beautiful statue at the Louvre. She has no head, but she's still beautiful. She, you know, her wings are outstretched. And even though she's made of stone, there is a feeling of movement. And I could tell when I walked up those like 1,000 steps or whatever it was to her, it was like I was gliding. It was like I was just floating up there. I could feel this lifting me. There was something very spiritual about it. And I knew I was entering into that place where there was no time. And I stood, once I reached the top of the steps, we stood there for the longest time, just enjoying the presence of this beauty and this incredible work of art. And we knew that this artist had captured something. He had opened a way unto a window or a door to God. And at that moment, there was no time. Time did not exist. And we just stood there and enjoyed the presence of God. And we had that same experience, of course, also while viewing the Mona Lisa, which we'd had before. And then, of course, we went to the Sagrada Familia, the church in Barcelona. That was interesting because we visit a lot of churches when we're in Europe. You know, it's amazing how many churches there are, old churches, beautiful churches, big churches, amazing cathedrals. You know, some with quite reputations where there are long lines to get in. But this church, we thought, okay, just another church. We're going to go see it. But when we entered into this church, it's not the fact that they've been building it forever and are still not finished. That's not what it was. It's that while we stood in this church, we started to feel the presence of God. And I think I've said in other times when we visited all these churches in Europe that I never found the presence of God in a lot of these churches. You know, but this time, I have to say I did. While I was there, I just suddenly, there was something about Gaudi and the way he designed this. It lifted your spirit. And the presence of God was there. And it made you think of God and want to talk to him and be with him. And we sat down and just sat there for the longest time, and I was so relaxed, and time did not exist. Because I had left that natural law of time and entered into the supernatural. We'd entered into that place where there is no time. And in that presence of God, that's what we often experience is that. And that's where that peacefulness comes. With all that running around and all those times and having to get to museums on time and catch trains on time and get metro trains and catch planes on time, sometimes it didn't feel like we were relaxing very much because there was a lot of running around going on. But at those moments where there was no time and we left the natural law of time and entered into the supernatural presence of God, there was a restoration of our bodies and our minds, and our spirits were renewed, and we were found this peacefulness and this calmness inside of us. And it was amazing to have that. It was amazing to really have that in, you know, that experience, and love it. Love it a lot. You know, with time, the right timing, a person being at the right place at the right time, you can make a fortune. At the same time, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, people have lost a fortune. So timing is very important. I think too many of us, though, start to let time be our master. And much like money, money is not our master, neither is time. In fact, time and money are meant to serve us. We're not meant to serve them. And too often, we get it backwards and we start to serve them. We start to serve money and time rather than letting them be our servants. And now we have to understand that the way God created us is he gave us dominion. In the very beginning, if we go back to Genesis, we know he created all things, right? And he created the stars and the moon and the sun. And when he created that, he also created time. We can go down to Psalms. This is Psalms 8 and verse 3. And when I consider your heavens, the work of your finger, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and his son, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. He's talking about you. You have dominion over the works of God's hand. That means everything that God created, you have dominion over it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You have dominion over that. And he has put all things under your feet. That means anything that's trying to stress you out, cause you problems, cause you sickness, cause you poverty, it's under your feet. Meaning you've got authority over that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You've got authority over that. He goes on to say in verse 7, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Amen. So he's talking about here in Psalms, he's talking about how God has created all these things. And then you were given dominion over them. You were given authority and power, even time. When he's creating the stars and the moon, he's creating the time. And at that moment, he gave you dominion over time. That means time should not be running your life. You should be running time's life. You need to be understanding how time works. And if you don't know that you've got authority over time, time is going to run you ragged. It's going to wear you out. And you're going to be waiting forever for everything you're waiting for. It's going to make you wait. It's going to drag it out. Because time keeps on ticking into the future. And you're going to be waiting for whatever it is that you've been believing for to come. And you're just going to have to keep on waiting for tomorrow. Because it's always out there. But when you know that you have dominion over time, that you have authority over it, now you can begin to proclaim the time and say, this is the time today. This is the time where I receive my healing. This is the time where I receive my success. This is the time where I receive my reward. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. This is a big concept. This is a big concept that we need to understand because, again, this is one of those it's a natural law of time that is ticking forward. And as it moves forward, it's easy for us to get caught up because everybody else is being ruled by time. It's easy for us to forget that we have dominion over time. And if we do not take that authority and that dominion over time and begin to proclaim the time of our deliverance and the time of our healing and the time of our success and blessing to come down upon us, we will be waiting and we will miss out on it because time will just keep on dragging it out into the future. And we got to bring it from the future into the now.
Amen.
We got to bring what's out there that God has already laid up for us. We bring it out of the future into the now by proclaiming it. By proclaiming what God has already finished.
Amen.
He's already finished and it's waiting for us. So time is important and we understand. And I've talked about all these practical things with time and why we need to know them. And I'm not saying you can throw your watch away and forget about schedules and miss out on airplanes and all that stuff. Because you're not going to get a lot done or it's going to be hard to coordinate with the rest of what people are doing if you do that. But what I am saying is that we've got to understand that we have dominion over time. And it's our servant. Time works for you. Say, time works for me.
Time works for me.
Time works for me. Now, David understood this. If you remember David, when he went out, where's this part, David? I've got it here somewhere. Yeah, David, when he went out to battle Goliath, here's what he said. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands.
Amen.
He proclaimed the time that Goliath would be defeated.
Amen.
If he wouldn't have done that, would have happened on that day. Now, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. There was no evidence that it was going to happen that day as this scrawny runt David goes out with no training. He's a sheep herder. He's got nothing behind him to prove, to say he can beat this man of war who was trained from his birth. This giant of a man who had his shield, his spear, everything was big and heavy. And this little runt, the runt of the litter, the smallest one of the whole group of David's brothers, goes out and he proclaims by faith, he proclaims, this is the day. There's no evidence it's going to happen. There's no evidence that says it's possible. But that's the thing about faith. We're believing. And now when he takes his divine authority, his divine right, David has the right because he has power over time to say, this is the time. This is the day that this will happen. This is when I'm taking this guy down. Right now, this is your day of defeat. Now that he proclaims that, time has to listen to him. Time has to bow to him and do what he has said because he has authority over it. And what happens? Goliath falls in battle. In battle against David, he falls on that day.
Amen.
On that day. Not a coincidence. David had the dominion and the authority. He is a man of God. He's been talking to God. He's been singing psalms to God. He's been praising God. He knows who God has created him to be. It doesn't matter what he looks like. It doesn't matter that his training doesn't measure up to this other guy. It doesn't matter that all the tribe of Israel is laughing that this kid's going to go out to fight that giant. It doesn't matter. We don't need the evidence. He's got the faith. And he's got the understanding, and he sees clearly what needs to be done, and he proclaims that this is the day that this will happen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's powerful, and that's what we've got. Jesus was teaching this same lesson. He was teaching this same lesson to his disciples at the feeding of the 5,000. When he was feeding the 5,000, if we go to that right here in Mark 6:35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late." They're talking about time. Ah, it's late. "Send them away. Send these people away." So Jesus has been teaching these people. These people, they followed him out into the wilderness. They wanted to hear the words of the kingdom of God. They wanted to know the words of life and receive the Spirit. They were hungry for it. They follow him out into the desert. His disciples decide, it's getting late. Send them away. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread. For they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So they got 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, they're thinking the disciples already are in an illusion. Their perception is twisted. They see a big group of people. They see a few loaves and a few fish. And they think their problem is money. Their problem's not money. That's not your problem either. It's not money. Here he's talking about a time. They're saying it's already the hour is late. But they've got dominion over that time. It can't be too late. It can't be late. And there can't be too little. They're saying they don't have enough. Why? Because we got to think about authority again. Everything that God created. Wow, this is great. Everything that God created, you've got dominion over it.
Amen.
Everything that God's hand created, you have been given dominion over it. Say amen to that. That means there is not one thing that God has created that you do not have dominion over. In the very beginning, he created everything. And after he created everything, he created you. And after he created you, he said, "Have dominion."
Amen.
He was saying, "Have dominion over everything that I created." Everything. You've got dominion. You've got authority. You've got power over every single thing that God's hand created. Now, we know the hand of God is powerful. We know the hand of God can do incredible things. We know that God can do all things are possible with God. Right? We know that without a doubt. But now I'm saying to you that he has given you the authority over everything that his hand has created.
Amen.
You've got the power over everything that he made. It's yours. And you've got to understand that, just like the disciples had to come to this understanding. Because they're thinking, we don't got enough money, it's getting late, there's too many people, there's too little fish. That's what they're thinking. They're not seeing the kingdom of God yet. They're seeing the natural. They're seeing the physical. They don't understand that they've got authority, that they've got power, and that the time is supposed to be serving them. Instead, they're serving the time. These people have come out to hear the word of God, and they're saying, "Send them away." Why? Because it's late. Well, if time is serving me, then it's not late. If they've come out to hear the word of God, now it's time for them to receive. We've got to bring what's out there in the future into the now. That's exactly what Jesus did. He said, "Bring those fish, bring that bread." He blessed it. He's having the perception and the understanding, I've got dominion. I've got dominion over time. I've got dominion over this fish. There's no lack of money here. And there's not too many people here. Whatever God has given to me, if he brought these people out to me, he has given me provision. He has given me the abundance that I need to feed them. He has given me everything I need to provide for them. It's already been done. Already been done, and it's waiting. And that's what he teaches the disciples, because he says to them, bless this food, get the people to sit down, go out there, hand it out, and guess what? And take up the leftovers. And not only was there leftovers, there was 12 baskets of leftovers that they took up. So there was more than enough. Say more than enough.
More than enough.
More than enough. Because we've got dominion. We've got authority. Over time even. Over time. Some of us have been waiting. We've been waiting for the dream to happen. We have believed for what God has told us. He said something's going to happen in your life. Great. I'm going to work a miracle in your life. I'm going to bring a healing. I'm going to bring a blessing. There's something amazing that's waiting for you. And you've been waiting. Well, if you're waiting on time, and time has been running you ragged, and you've forgotten that you're supposed to have dominion over time. It's time. The time is now for us to take our dominion and our authority and proclaim like David did, this is the day.
Amen.
This is the day when my reward comes in.
Amen.
This is the day when my healing is received.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
This day. Why did he say that in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread isn't just bread. It's blessing. It's love. It's God's blessing coming down upon you. Every single thing that you're supposed to receive this day, this is the day. Give us this day. Whatever it is that you prepared, God, this is the day that I receive it. We've got to understand that you have dominion over time and begin to use it by proclaiming. And how do we proclaim? We proclaim by faith. Faith is what we need. So we believe what God fulfilled. We believe that he already finished it. We believe that he already fulfilled it. And by faith, by believing, we now proclaim it so. As I said with David, there was no evidence. Didn't seem like any of the evidence chalked up. You could calculate, scientifically measure them, calculate all, you know, the statistics of David winning versus Goliath, check out all their battles that they won, who was bigger, who had more training. You know, I'm sure the odds makers were betting on the side, and oh man, the odds are bad. This guy's going to lose. But it's not about evidence. It's about faith. Couple things about faith we need to look at here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for it is the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by, you are the just. The just shall live by faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, we win victory over the world by faith. Now listen to this. This is verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. You want victory? It's saying right here, if you want victory, no matter what the situation or the circumstance, if you want victory, your victory is in the faith. Your victory is in believing that Jesus came down as God, fulfilled all the things, and now has reestablished to you the power. Now remember, Jesus came down to restore to you the power over time, space, and matter. He restored to you that ability that you're supposed to have, that you always were meant to have from the very beginning, over time, space, and matter. The scientists talk about that that's the reality where we live. Time, space, and matter, right? And what I'm saying is that Jesus came down for one purpose. to restore you to your rightful place, that you would have authority over time, space, and matter.
Amen.
That means there is nothing, there is no thing, there is not one thing that has power over you, but everything that was created by God's hand was created to serve you. It was created so that you could work the works of the kingdom, and it would be there to support you and supply you with every single thing that you need. And God laid it up for you already, and it's waiting. If we don't come into the understanding that we have authority over time, we will be waiting. And it's time to stop waiting. And it's time to start taking the authority over that time and proclaiming, "This is my day.
This is my day."
When we can say that, now we can receive, just as Jesus was saying. We came from the world above, from an invisible realm of the eternal, where there is no time and everything is already finished.
Amen.
That's where we came from. That's who we are.
Praise God.
We come from the eternal realm of the invisible. There is no time. And that's where we reside even today. The minute you receive Jesus into your heart, you are a citizen of heaven. You got a new spirit. You're a citizen of heaven. But that is where you came from, and that's who you are even today. Nothing has changed. You belong to that invisible reality where there is no time. Even while you're here in this place, in the natural. And your job is to bring that reality down here to this reality. Because you haven't changed. Wake up to who you are, to the truth of who you are, so that you now can use that authority and that dominion to rule over all things. This is kind of a continuation of what I talked about a couple weeks ago. Because when we talk about our youth and not getting old, we're really talking about time also, aren't we? But we have dominion over that.
Amen.
And we need to start using it. We need to start using it in a greater way. I like what Elisha said here in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Now Elijah proclaims, this is an interesting story, because he proclaims over this people, and they went from being poor to being abundant overnight. He says here in verse 7, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow at about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on those whose hands the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this be? Could this be?' And he said, 'In fact, you shall see it with your eyes.'" So basically what he's saying here is he has proclaimed tomorrow. That's the when. He has already taken time. He's taken dominion over it. He's saying tomorrow. And he is saying that suddenly they're going to have money enough to buy the fine flour and the barley that they need. And that's what happened. It happened exactly as he said it. So they went from being poor yesterday to being abundantly rich today, all because the man of God proclaimed by faith, and remember, the just shall live by faith, proclaimed by faith that this would happen, and now it did. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we can understand. If you do not understand you have dominion over time, you'll be forced to wait. How long? Maybe forever. But you got to understand right now, you've got the authority. You've got the authority, and we've got to use it. In Amos, this is chapter 9 and verse 13. And this is very interesting. "Behold, the days are coming." We have to remember, Amos said this before Jesus came. So we need to say, the days are here. They're not coming, they're here. "Says the Lord. The days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." What he's saying here, look at that. The treader of grapes, will overtake him who sows the seed. It's saying that the grapes are going to be already there before the guy who sows them finishes sowing them. You get that? It's saying that it's already finished before it's been planted. It's already been done. And it's he was talking before Jesus came. He said the days are coming. These are those days. But we've got that. And what he's talking about is he's saying the abundance that you need, everything that you need has already been created. It's already finished. Even before you finish sowing your tithing seed into the kingdom of God, the blessing's already there. It's already waiting for you to take. You just got to proclaim the time. Don't say, the days are coming. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that this guy will go down. This is the day that I will receive my healing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God has made you to have dominion over time. I want you to go out into the world, begin to stretch your minds beyond the reality of what everybody else is living according to. Begin to walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can now proclaim by faith your day of blessing. You can proclaim by faith your day of healing, your day of victory. It's all right there waiting for you. God's already finished it. That's where we come from. The realm of the invisible, the eternal, where there is no time. And we come down into this physical reality to take that dominion and use it to receive our blessing this day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.